Let's open with prayer. Oh, Father, God, we just praise your name. We thank you for what you've done already here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the ability to be able to praise you openly. God, I'm sorry for when we take advantage of that or take that for granted. Father, this morning I pray that you would speak through me, that your words would come out of my mouth. God, I just thank you for your provisions. I'm excited for what you're going to do. And I just pray, Lord, that you convict us where we need to be convicted and comfort us where we need comfort. And I ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we weren't here last week, and I tell you every time I'm not here, I missed y'all. And I say y'all on purpose because I went south. Found my people again. Those are my people. They talk like me. They do not look like me. Okay, we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. This has nothing to do with nothing, but just let me tell you, I've never seen so many skinny jeans and swooshy little haircuts and sweaters in my life. We were standing in line for church. That's right, we had to stand in line to get in church. Anyhow, standing in line at church, some lady looked at me, she goes, "I like your shoes." Pulled them up, I was like, "These are boots, and there's mud and probably poop on the bottom, just to be honest with you." And she's like, "Mm-hmm." And she started riding around. I did not fit in, but we were in the body. That's what's so cool about the body of Christ. And there's so many just differences. And I mean, I was next to some people. I'm not sure they spoke English, but they praised God in it. Man, it was so awesome to be a part of. It's just awesome to, yeah, I went and got my cup filled. I don't know if y'all can hear it, but there's a fire in here. We're going to talk about it a little bit. I'll try to quench it so you can understand me. I get talking real fast because I get excited. So listen, we're going to finish up 1 Peter. Does that work? If them don't work, we're in trouble. We're going to finish up 1 Peter. We're going to be at chapter 5. So if you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in a rack in front of you. Or share with your neighbor. That'd be good. Just, we're going to read the word. First Peter has been really, really insightful. We've gotten a lot out of this First Peter study. Now, next week, we go into vision. It's vision month or two, however long God takes to do the vision. But we move on. Hey, Dale, will you close that door real quick? Somebody else other than Dale, will you close that door? Thanks. See, my church is small enough. I know y'all by name. I went to a church that had 50,000 people. Started with 8 families. Tell me God didn't do something there. Right? Okay. Anyway, 1 Peter has really kind of gleaned a whole lot from it. We're going to finish up here. And then next week we go on to vision casting. You've heard me say love, follow, go. You've seen it on a t-shirt. If you looked at the website, you've seen it. If you've been on Facebook, you've seen it. Only thing I haven't done yet is paint it on the wall, but don't hold me to it. Might happen. Might buy a banner. Those are less permanent. Anyhow, God has given me this vision, and we're going to talk about it next week. So you do not want to miss the next month or so. It's going to be real exciting here at Open Arms. Okay? So, 1 Peter 5. I'm going to read it all. We're just going to read it all, and we'll go back. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And then with the help of Silas, whom I regard, we're not going to read that part. So go back to We're going to go to 1:1 real quick, and I want you to look at something. The elders are being addressed here in 5:1. They're being addressed. He says, to the elders among you. And he's addressing them because as leaders, they will face the brunt of the persecution. If you remember, okay, I wasn't here last week, but the week before that, the 7 verses before was about suffering for being a Christian. So he goes straight from that suffering, and he says, to the elders among you. He knows that they're going to have to face it because they're the leaders, right? So he wants to address them. He says, to the elders among you. But if you look at 1:1, what does that one, that you might not be able to see it. Look over here. Peter calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then in 5:1 he says, as a fellow elder. So he's an apostle and he's a fellow elder. This is encouraging in light of the responsibility and difficult situation that the church there and the church now is facing. This is encouraging. This is a good thing. He says, I'm an apostle, I'm an elder, and he's a whole lot of other things. We're going to look at that in just a minute, but let's look at it now. Let me just talk to you about Peter real quick. Peter was a fisherman. Just plain and simple. Dude rowed a boat, threw nets out, fish came in, rowed up, and that's how he lived his life. That's how he provided for his family. That's what he did. He was a fisherman. Until one day, he's in a boat with his brother Andrew, and he's fishing along. And this guy that he's heard about walks down the beach and he says, hey, come follow me. And they did. Blows my mind. Can't figure it out. I'm sitting in my office. Somebody comes and says, hey, come follow me. I'm like, where are we going? Why are we going? How are we going to get there? Can my family come? How long are we going to be there? When will we be back? Am I going to make dinner tonight? There's so many questions that kind of just innately present themselves, but you don't read that. It says, they left. They followed him. Now, we know that Peter was married. We know this from later scripture, Peter was married. And I've got to think there was a conversation there. We don't read it in the gospel, so that's open for my interpretation. Right? So I guess play with it a little bit. So Peter, Jesus, we're getting ready to pass my house. There's somebody in there. I should probably tell we're leaving. Honey, we're going to follow Jesus now. What? What do you mean? Where's your boat? Did Andrew hit you in the head? What are you talking about? But he was a fisherman, guys. That's what he knew. But he was smart enough to know when he recognized the Lord. Amen. He was smart enough to know when he recognized God's hand and God's motion and God's movements. He recognized that. And he stepped out and he said, yes, I'll follow you. I cannot imagine what that conversation was like with the wife. Anyhow, it went well because, or didn't, he followed. Right? We know this. We know he followed. Peter was a fisherman. He was one of the first two disciples called. That's in Matthew 4. I probably just ruined it. But they were fishing when Jesus called them. If you follow Peter along in Matthew, you'll see in 14, they're in a ship and the disciples are there together, but Jesus isn't with them this time. And there's a little bit of a storm going on, and they look out. All the disciples look out and they see someone walking. They're like, it's a ghost. And then you come find out it's Jesus. And Peter says, well, if it's you, Lord, call me out. So he did. He called him out. He took a step, and he didn't think, I can't do that because I trust God, but also know his laws of gravity. What he did, he stepped out of the boat. And he's walking on water. And everybody knows this story. You learned this from kindergarten. If you didn't, I'm going to tell you anyhow. So he steps out of the boat and he's walking on water. On top of the water. And then, he gets excited and looks around. He's like, look what I'm doing. Y'all see me? Sinks. As soon as he took his eyes off of the Lord, he sank into this ocean. This is the same guy that knew he couldn't walk on water because he was fishing. If the nets sink, he's going to sink. He knew that, but he still stepped out on faith. Why? Because Jesus called him. Both times, Jesus called him out. And he responded. And he followed. Peter was also told, get behind me, Satan. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says, listen, the time is near. I'm getting ready to have to go and be crucified. And Peter says, mm-mm, not my God. It's not happening. We will fight. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You cannot stand in the way of God's will. Cannot stand in the way of God's will. Peter was also the guy, okay, he was just told, get behind me, Satan. Peter's the guy, they're in the garden, and here come everybody to arrest them. And Peter pulls out the sword and lops off the guy's ear. Just gone. Cuts it off. And just be Jesus for a second. Peter, I just told you. This has to happen. You ever feel like that? God's doing that to you? I just told you. Let me tell you again. Praise God that he is patient.
Amen.
He is patient. But Peter, what I want you to know is, one, he was a simple man. But two, he was a faithful man. He did what he was supposed to do. For the most part. I identify really well with Peter. I love Peter because he was, if there's anything anybody would have told you about Peter, he was zealous. He was excited. He loved Jesus, and everyone around him knew that. He just did. He loved him. So we're going to go to, put your finger in your Bible, and we're going to go to John chapter 21 real quick. So go to the left, but keep 1 Peter there. We're going to go to the left. I just want to show, and if you don't feel like it, I think it'll be on the screen. We have a really good techie today. So that should work out well for us. John 21. And I just want to read you just two verses from that about Peter. All right? 21. We're going to look at 15 through 17. If I can find it in my Bible. And if you got red letters, you know when Jesus is talking. If not, I'll tell you. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter was a shepherd. Peter was a shepherd because Jesus told him to be. Peter was called to a whole lot of things. He was called away from being a fisher of fish and to a fisher of men. And now he's called to be a shepherd. And as we pick up in verse 1, go back to 5:1. He says, a witness of Christ's sufferings. He's also a witness. Can I expose this scripture for you a little bit? Got some time with me? I'm not even going to look at the clock today. We're just going to preach till we get done. All right. Peter was a physical witness to Christ's suffering. He was there. He was one of the first two disciples called. So he was there the entire time through Jesus' ministry. He saw the cities that welcomed him and loved him. He saw the 5,000 men that were fed. Men, I don't count women and children. He saw them all. He saw big crowds, little crowds. He saw the frustration from when Jesus went to his hometown and they didn't accept him. He was with Jesus the entire time. He was a witness to the good and the bad of Jesus' ministry. He was there, physically there. Peter was also... He was also another type of witness through Christ's sufferings, through his spreading of the gospel. Have you ever heard of your witness before? I'm going to play with this word a little bit, your witness. Some people call it your testimony. Some people will call it your Christian witness. Peter was a witness each and every day for Christ's sufferings. Everywhere he went, they knew, hey, he followed Jesus. Let's watch him. Let's see what he does. Sometimes Peter got it right. Sometimes Peter got it wrong. I love what our church sign says. It's something about you're the only Bible people may read. Right? Peter was their Bible. He showed up in their cities and he says, hey, let me tell you all, you got it just a little bit wrong. You love God, but let me tell you about the Son, Messiah. And some people were like on fire, excited. And some people were like, blasphemy, throwing you in jail. Either, it doesn't matter what they thought. His witness never changed. He was never transformed because of who was around him or where he was or what they said. He remained faithful in his witness. And finally, Peter was a witness to Christ's sufferings through the grace that was extended while he was still in his presence. I've told you before, guys, I am so jealous of those 12 men. So jealous. They got to physically walk around with Jesus. But at the same time, I'm glad. Just knowing myself, and maybe you can feel this way too. Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. Doesn't matter. They were in Jesus' actual presence, messing life up. They were just messy, messy people. I just told you a few things Peter did. I didn't even get into some of the other ones. All right, we're just going to pick on Peter today. Just kind of a mess, but each and every time it's recorded, you'll see Jesus extend grace. Now, he might correct them what we would seem as harshly, but he did it out of love. We would see that grace extended to Peter. Okay, listen, I'm going to explain this parable to you one more time. Can you imagine? But listen, they had the inside, though. Because everybody that Jesus said the parable to, they didn't always get the explanation. They just kind of had to figure it out, or it came to them, or it didn't. But during that, there was a lot of mistakes being made, but there was a lot of praises. Excuse me. It was through the grace that was extended to him while he was in Jesus' presence. Anybody in here ever experienced that grace? Anybody in here ever been in Jesus' presence and just felt that grace fall upon them? You watch some today. Man, I get fired up when we have baptisms. I get excited. Somebody responding to faith and love and discipline, that's what we're talking about today. That's what we're talking about with Peter. Responded to his faith and love and discipline. Well, if I keep preaching on that, we won't get to the rest of it. So, moving on. So, he's a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. He has something to look forward to. He has this glory that's going to be revealed to him. And now he gives a charge. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Whose flock? God's flock. Be a shepherd. He says, if you go back, he says, Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, feed my sheep. These are his sheep that Peter's being called to be a shepherd of. And now he's charging the elders of these churches, be shepherds of God's flock, serving as overseers, not because you have to, but because you're willing to. A response, an actual response to a charge or a calling, whatever you want to call it, has to be voluntary or it's not real. We can force you to do a whole lot of things. And, you know, I can force you to sit down, just hold you down, handcuff you to the chair, whatever, you know. You can be forced to do a lot of things, but if you don't willingly respond, then it's not real. It's fake. And it will wear out in time. It'll wear out when the first trial comes, when the first pain comes, the first suffering comes. That's when you'll know if someone's response to the gospel is true. It's how they respond in the very first trial. Because everything is rainbow, sunshine, and lollipops in the beginning. But then it makes Satan very unhappy when you respond. It makes Satan very unhappy when you are disciplined in Jesus. So he will attack you. He'll try to knock you off your guard. And it's almost like you're standing on a tightrope and you're holding on to the stick and he's just kind of blowing the wind. Just want to see where you're going, right? But I would tell you, just keep walking. Take the next step because God has laid it out before you. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. You know how many people serve in churches because of what they get out of it? You know how people serve the Lord because of what they get? Don't do that. Don't serve God just because you get something. Serve because you're willing. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And the chief shepherd, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Again, something else to look forward to. The chief shepherd will appear, and there will be a crown of glory that will never fade away. So if you are going to respond for any other reason, just know that there's a chief shepherd that's going to return. He's going to come back and he's going to have a crown or a gavel. Right? Just look at it this way. A crown you want or a gavel, which scares the daylights out of me. Because I know we're going to be judged just as strong or harshly as everyone else around us. I would tell you doubly so, because we know better when we fall short. I get onto my children more when they make the same mistake over and over and over again because they know better. They keep doing it. We know better, but we keep doing the same sins. Why? I can't tell you why. I can just tell you, stop. That was simple. Stop. Is it really that simple? No, I wouldn't have you believe that. Wouldn't have you believe that at all. It's tough. It really is. It's tough, but it's rewarding is what I want you to hear. It's rewarding. Service to God is rewarding. Following His footsteps is rewarding. Sorry. Young men, we're in five. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. I can't help but think while he's writing this down, if he's writing it or Silas is writing, it doesn't matter. While this is being dictated, I can't help but think he's probably recalling the foot washing. He's probably recalling when Jesus said to him, I have to wash your feet. You know what Peter said after that? Nope. Can't have you wash my feet. Jesus said, well, if you want any part of me, I don't have to wash your feet. He says, well, then, Lord, wash my entire body. Wash my entire body. He didn't want his master to have to humble himself. But the example Jesus gave is you have to be humble. You have to be humble. The shepherd was humble and the flock was submissive. Shepherd was humble and the flock was submissive. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Simple words, hard to do. Anybody here ever get anxious? I'm the only one. That's okay. I'll be anxious for you. I know you get anxious. You're human. I know it happens. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Blows my mind how He can care for me. Go to 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, I want you to hear something here. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion. You guys been to the zoo? You've seen a roaring lion. He's just prowling around. He's pacing back and forth. And he's roaring. He's hungry. He's mad. He's very, very upset that you are responding to the gospel, that you are following in His footsteps. He doesn't want you to be humble. He doesn't want you to cast your anxiety on Jesus because He knows He cares for you. So He's roaring around and He's looking for someone to devour. will you be eaten today? It doesn't say he's looking for something. It doesn't say he's looking for some sin. It doesn't say he's looking for anything. He's looking for someone to devour. Is that you? Is that you? Resist him. Look at 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Guys, all over this world, there are people that have responded to the same Jesus, to the same God that you have, that are facing trials just like you are. I told you a few weeks ago, you're going to suffer. But I told you he's going to be with you in that suffering. I'll tell you that he suffered so that you don't have to suffer the worst cost. That you don't have to suffer that worst fate. He suffered that. But as we respond to the gospel, as we respond as Christians, and we follow him faithfully, the devil's going to roar around like a lion. He's going to find someone to eat. Do not let it be you. Because there are people around here that are suffering too. So what if everybody that was suffering, what if we all came together and said, hey, you suffering? I'm suffering. Let's suffer together. What if we did that? What if we just formed this giant community? Oh, wait, that sounds like a plan God had. He called it the church. He already fixed it. So what if we just came together as a church and said, you know what, I'm suffering, you're suffering. Praise God through this storm. And use it later. What if we did that? Resist him, standing firm in your faith. Because you know there are brothers throughout the world that are going the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace. Boy, I heard Francis Chan preach this. I can't do it, but not as well as he did. But the God of all grace. The God of all grace. Called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Called you specifically to eternal glory through his grace. After you've suffered a little while, there's going to be pain, but after you suffer just a little while, he will himself restore you. He will himself put his arms around you and say, I love you. You're doing a good job. You are faithful. I'm proud of you. Keep going. The God of all grace will do that. He himself will restore you if you let him. But if you say, no, I got it, he's going to leave you alone. Because there's so many people that say, God, I need you. I need you now. He himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Can we all just say this last verse together? Can you participate with me? I don't want to be the only one talking for now. You ready? To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Wow. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter says, I need to talk to the elders for a second. That's what Peter says. He says, I'm talking to the elders. I appeal to a fellow, to you as a fellow elder. Just listen to me, I'm begging you, just pay attention for just a second. A witness of Christ's sufferings. One who also shared in the gospel to be revealed. Be shepherds of the flock. Look for the lost. Find the lost. He says, be humble. Humble yourselves. He says, lead by example. He says, cast all your anxiety on him. I know you're not good enough. Peter, well, he should have told you he's not good enough. In his own, he's not good enough. Neither are you. Newsflash. You're not good enough. But he thought maybe he saw something in you. God sees just a little bit in you and he says, you know what? Just respond to this. If you would just do that, respond to this. Serve me here willingly and humbly. Watch what happens. He says, be self-controlled and alert. I would say that means to prepare, be ready. By the time the game starts, you should have already had a few practices. Prepare yourselves. Now is the time to prepare because there's a game coming. I don't know how many, there's a couple coaches sitting here. I can tell you that none of them ever just show up to a game like, hey, what's your name? Oh, good. You are point guard. You're a little shorter than the other one, so Can you dribble?
Yeah.
You're going to be point guard. What about you? Can you shoot? Doesn't matter. Just get out there and stand right there. They don't do that. They practice. They find the strengths of the players they have, and then they put them in the game. That's what the church does. We look at each other and say, wow, I can't get up there and sing like them. I can't play guitar. But I can do other stuff, right? There's always something that we can do. There's always a way that we can serve God if you're looking for it. If you're not, just sit right there. Someone else will do it. False. Absolutely false. That's what everybody thinks. Hey, if I sit here, someone else will do it. No, it's just not going to get done. It's just not going to get done. That's just how it's going to be. It just won't get done. You knew there was a need. Why didn't you help fulfill it? It's disobedience. And those people, I'll share this with you. This is Nathan's interpretation of what Peter said. There's a devil roaring around like a lion, looking for someone to devour. I bet he picks one of them. I bet he finds a weak one in the flock. See, because if you're not engaged and you're not serving, or you're not with the flock more than just this 1 hour, you're probably just getting a little bit weaker and weaker each and every day. And that's what he's going to look for. He's going to find your weakness. And he's going to look for it. And he's going to exploit it. And then if you can't take that and cast it on Jesus and stand firm in his name, we're in trouble. Absolutely in trouble. Flip your Bibles over to the left. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22. I'm closing. Closing up here. I looked at my clock out of habit. Didn't mean to. Luke 22. We're going to look at 31 through 32. Had they asked me in 1984 to help them translate the New International Version, I would have put an exclamation point here. They didn't ask me, I was 4. So, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Exclamation point. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Every Sunday, there's 4 guys, they stand down here in front of you, and we say, hey, if you need a prayer, please come talk to us. And, you know, I say a whole bunch of stuff, but it really just comes back to, if you want me to pray with you, come on up, I'll pray with you. I'm going to ask those 4 guys to come up here right now. These 4 guys, or there's 3, I'm 4. These are the elders of our church. These are the ones that have received God's calling to lead this church. These are the ones that have decided to serve Him willingly. So now that they're standing here and their wives are looking uncomfortable, I'm going to have them come up too. Because they're lonely. They don't have their husbands with them. So if their wives would please come up front, it would make this illustration so much better. Please don't make me come get you. I'm number 4. Come on up. You just stand where I stand.
I got you, girl.
These people have sacrificed more than you will know. These people have lost sleep. These people have lost hair. These people have really suffered in the name of Jesus for their calling. And I asked their wives to come up because if you think they're not suffering while we're in elders' meetings till 10, 11 at night, while our phones are ringing off the hook at dinner time, if you think they don't suffer along with us because of our calling, you're absolutely wrong. And I want to go to what the scripture said. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. I guarantee Satan has brought our names before him and said, I want them. I want them to be sifted as wheat. But what's he say? He says, I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So I kind of want to flip this a little bit. I want to show you what I'm appreciative for. I'm appreciative for these leaders that have said yes. And then just look to your right and left. I'm appreciative for you. Because you have decided to come here each and every Sunday morning. You have decided to faithfully say yes to God. That is how I can appreciate you. But I wanted you all, that's y'all where I'm from, I want y'all to come down here and pray for the leaders. So if you would, go ahead and get up. If you're able. If you're not able, just put your hand out and you can pray for us like that. If you would come down, you're going to have to touch people too. You need to know that. You have to stand and touch. If those are not in your wheelhouse, just throw the arm up, okay? So, I don't know how powerful you guys think prayer is. I don't know how uncomfortable I've just made you, probably very. It's good to stretch a little bit. Don't break yourselves. Just stretch. All right. I'm going to turn my mic off. If you feel led to pray for a leader, please do so.
Father, thank you for all that you've done for these leaders and their wives. They work as a couple to actually serve us in this church community. But we ask that in this year of Jubilee, Lord, that extra blessings be poured upon these. And as we move as a church from going and studying discipleship to actually going out into the world and actually providing discipleship and friendship and love and grace for all those in the community around us, we thank you for these people that are going to be our leaders to show us how to do that. And we ask that you just bless them, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we pray a special touch on their lives, Lord. For the things that we see and for the things that we cannot see. God, we pray special blessings upon them, Lord, that you would give them strength and energy and give them resources, Lord, to stretch themselves, Lord, the way that you would have them. And, Lord, bind us together in love together, Lord. Help us to cooperate and to yield to your spirit in our lives and each one of us, Lord, that we would grow in you and serve you, Lord, by serving others as these have done. We praise you. We thank you for them in the precious name of Jesus.
Father God, I just thank you for Charity and Nathan and for their leadership in this church and for all of our elders and their families, and just lay a special hand on them and just to help to keep them safe and healthy and just help them to be the best leaders that they can be in Jesus' name.
Father, we are thankful that you have called these couples out. We're thankful, Lord, for your blessings upon them. Father, only through you are they able to do these things, and we are blessed in you, Father, because they stand before you for us and for this church and for this body. Father, thank you for Nathan and Charity. Father, we have been blessed since they have come into our lives, and they are missed when they are not here. Father, we ask that you just put an anointing upon these couples and upon Nathan and Charity, Father, that they will go forth and gather this church together and help them to be all that they can be, Father, and their witness throughout this community. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the baptism today, seeing another person desire to follow you. And as they lead us, I pray that we would humble ourselves as they humbled themselves. I thank you for these men and women of the Wingers, the Wisemans, and Simpsons, Lord. I just pray for their families. I thank you so much for their willingness to serve you. I pray that you would help us to remember to pray for them daily. Thank you so much in Jesus' name.
Father, as we come before your precious throne of grace this morning, Father, we just lift them up. Father, we are lifting up our leaders. Father, we know that they are in your hands as we are. And Father, we just ask, Father, that a special blessing to put upon Charity and Nathan and Matt and Chris and Jesse and Brittany and Les and Patsy, Father. We just ask that your spirit would be alive and powerful in their life, and that you would just be involved in everything that they do in their minds and their hearts, their emotions, Father, that you would be God of their life. Just let you be God. Father, we praise you. Thank you. And Father, I ask a special blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the precious power and the blood that he shed on that cross, that you would draw a line, Father, that Satan cannot cross, that Satan cannot come here. He is not welcome. He is not here, Father, because of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and because we can lift up their names.
Amen.
To you this morning, Father. We just want to praise you and thank you. And Father, we know you hear us. We know that your eyes are upon us. And Father, you look to make yourself strong to those that love you. And Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask a special blessing in your precious and holy and wonderful name, Father. We thank you. Amen.
All right, thank you guys for coming up here.
Thank you.
So you can go back to your seat.
Y'all thought we was done. We ain't done yet.
Wives can return to their seat if they'd like.
Take care, everybody, because he really felt that, you know, protection.
Prayer is very, very powerful.
Amen.
And appreciated. We appreciate all your prayers. My vow is that we will follow God vigorously. We will pursue Him with excellence. We will offer Him our all. And I vow this to each and every one of you. We will do that as leaders. So now we're down here, and you've prayed for us. We're ready to pray for you and with you. I'm going to have the team come up, the praise team. You don't want me to sing. They're going to come up here and they're going to sing to you. Just know that prayer is powerful. Whatever it is that you need to bring, know there's no judgment, but we're going to lift it up to Jesus together. The perfecter of our faith. We're going to go to Him. We're going to intercede with you. So if you would stand and sing this last song with us.